Okay. The last things we were learning about Arla, you know, the first 3 years you can't eat the fruit. The last thing we were learning about not to do witchcraft and believe in lucky times, unless, like we learned last week, it's the Torah says there are good times, and it's Hashem mentioning it. It's not us making it into good times, and so on. Okay, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, at the top of 664, Pasuk 27. The Torah says like this, Leisa kifu ba'asrei shchem, you're not allowed to round off the edge of your scalp. You're not allowed to destroy the edges of your beard. Okay, so basically this is the concept that's called leaving payas, sideburns, or payas. And you want to sit down?
No, I heard that.
And not to destroy your beard. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah is interesting, even though basically this is what would be called a chayik. It's illogical. Mitzvah Hashem says this is the way it's supposed to be. Nevertheless, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah, when he describes the mitzvahs, the Rambam explains the reason for this is because the idol worshippers used to do this. It was the style of the idol worshippers to make their head round. In other words, when you take off your sideburns, so then it's called, if it's a kifu, it's called like you're making round, the face round, without any ends. So it would be forbidden. That's what the idol worshippers used to do, the Rambam says. And the same thing with not destroying the pa'asa konecha, the edges of your beard. Now, when it says pa'as zekonecha, it means the corners of your beard. That's what it literally means. The corners of your beard. I'm not a doctor, but you need to have patience. The corner, in halacha it says, there are five corners of the beard. And therefore, the Gemara learns out that if somebody would shave in the way it's forbidden, that we'll soon discuss, in the way that it's forbidden, they would be transgressing five negative mitzvahs every time they would shave their entire beard. Five negative mitzvahs. Because the Torah says, you cannot cut or destroy, the Torah says, very important word. It doesn't say don't cut, it says don't destroy the corners of your face. So according to halacha, it's the two sides. I know on video you can't, I mean on the tape you can't see it. But two over here, and one in the middle. These are the five, even though it's questionable in halacha which exactly the five corners are, but nevertheless it's here, here, and in the middle. These are the five corners of the beard that the Torah says you're not allowed to destroy. Now let's discuss a little bit the first concept of payas, the side locks, the sideburns, whatever. The Torah says you're not allowed to destroy, you're not allowed to round off the edge of your scalp. Now we know in many Hasidic circles, they're very long payas, because they don't cut them at all. In many places, they mamish don't cut them. In certain places, instead of cutting them, they'll actually burn them off. They will burn them. They will put something, they'll take the payas. Huh? No, but they will put it protect. They don't, if not, the whole thing's going to catch on fire. I've never seen, but those that I've heard, they do. They put something, you know, on the hair to protect it, and they burn off the bottom part of the payas instead of cutting it. But in Chabad, as we know, we don't have long payas. We don't have long payas. And there's a whole sikha from the Rebbe, why not? And he writes that Darizal himself did not have long payas. And therefore, those that follow the ways of Darizal also don't have long payas. That's what the Rebbe writes in the sikha. But in many circles, people do have the long payas. Now, this only applies to men, not to women, obviously. These are negative mitzvahs that only apply, but no, it says in Allah, these are the few exceptional mitzvahs that only apply to a man, not to a woman. For instance, halachically, if a woman would grow hair on her face, you know, not even not a lot, and they would shave it, it wouldn't be a problem. They're not obligated in these two mitzvahs. But according to Allah, the payas have to go at least until the bone over here. And the side, like it's in the middle of the ear, there's a bone. If you feel it, there's a bone there. That is the minimum length of the payas. Halachically, it doesn't have to be beyond that. As long as it goes up to the bone, it's good enough. Even how high up does it have to go? You know, like how high? So in certain circles, they make this whole area thick. You ever see it?
Yeah.
Especially when they take a baldy haircut. Yeah. No, then this part they leave thicker. Okay, according to Amini, we don't leave that thicker either. So we just basically, the pays have to be coming down from the side of the head, and it has to go up down to the bone, and that's it. And the rest could be cut. That's not a problem. You could thin it, yeah. But it has to be something you could hold on to. I mean, you can make it so thin that you can never hold on to it. Now, concerning the second half of the pasuk with the beard, the Torah says, don't destroy. And therefore, according to Allah, you have all the, you know, everybody knows, are you allowed to shave? You're not allowed to shave? Can you shave it? According to all opinions, what the Torah is actually talking about is to shave with a razor. To shave with a razor is what's called destroying the hair. The difference between, for instance, if you, let's say, cut your beard, so you're not destroying it. You're making it short, but you're not destroying it. Even if you shave with an electric shaver, even though nowadays, they write, there's different types of electric shavers, and again, I'm just discussing the issue and not paskining or ruling anything about anything, but there's certain electric shavers today, some of the Norelcos, they say, that is mamish, goes mamish like a razor, and that would also be biblically forbidden to shave with. But according to many opinions, if it's an electric shaver that doesn't go mamish all the way to cut, so to speak, below the skin, so then that aspect of not destroying the beard doesn't apply. Okay? That's number one. Now there's the famous Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek writes that shaving the beard, even if it's not the concept of destroying it, the Tzemach Tzedek holds there's another sin involved. And he writes a whole tshuva because many people write that if you don't destroy the beard, so then why shouldn't it be allowed? So they write that Tzemach Tzedek holds that it's also part of the aveira of a man not dressing like a woman. Because women don't have beards. And years ago, that used to be the sign of distinction, so to speak, when you look at a person's face. If they had a beard, they were a man. If they didn't have a beard, they were a woman. So the Tzemach Tzedek holds, it's the concept of Lisul B'Shgever. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek holds. Many other opinions hold that too. But the bottom line, the Rambam says the reason why it's forbidden to destroy is because that's what the idol worshippers used to do. Okay? The main thing is using a razor. So you couldn't use a razor on your payas either. You know, if you cut your payas, not just trimming them, I'm saying actually cutting them with a razor would also be forbidden. And that's why you can't, I mean, according to all opinions, no opinion in the world that says you're allowed to shave with an actual razor. What?
Like, men aren't, for the same reason men can't wear skirts, but if you go to Ireland or Scotland, men are allowed to wear the kilts because that's what the other men wear. So why not in America where other men shave their beards and it's not considered a woman's thing? Can't they do that?
That is a complicated halachic issue. When the law applies, when doesn't it apply? Okay? It's definitely not for now. And there's a lot of discussion about all those things. When the concept exists and when the concept doesn't exist. But it's not for now. Because now we're learning just what the Torah says itself. You can't remove the hair of the sideburns. And you need to transgress by at least cutting two hairs in the sideburns. And you're not allowed to actually shave with the beard itself to destroy it. Only with the razor, where that destroys it actually to the level of the skin. Then it would be forbidden. Then the pasuk says like this, Seder l'nefesh, do not make a cut in your flesh for the dead. Meaning like this, in the olden times, it was a custom that when somebody died, they would cut their flesh. It was a Goyisha tradition in those times. So the Torah says, I don't want you acting like the Goyim, you know, so therefore I don't want you doing this. And Uksevis Kaka, and you cannot put a tattoo, the Sitn of Hashem, you cannot put it into yourself. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Now, At the beginning of the, this concept of Seder LeNefesh, Rashi explains, or the Mfoshim explain, over there in the previous part, in Dvarim, previous because we learned the last Shabbos, in Chumash Dvarim, the Torah says the reason why can you not make cuts in your flesh and all that, because Hashem says, Banim Atam L'Hashem Alakechim, you are my children, you're holy, I want you to look holy, I don't want you to be all cut up for the dead. There's a lot you could discuss over here, but I just want to finish the pasuk before we go into that. And that is also the concept that says you're not allowed to make a tattoo. Now, what is the definition of a tattoo in halacha? To cut the skin. It's called tattoo today, you know. Cut the skin and put ink in it, and or sand, and it leaves a permanent imprint. Okay?
So it's if not cutting, you're putting a needle in there.
A needle cuts.
Yeah,
what do you think they're doing? The needle cuts the skin, and then they put the ink in it, to keep it, or the dye, whatever they put in it. Doesn't matter what they put in it.
How about those eyebrows, when women do the eyebrows?
Oh, so now there's a whole shiloh like this. What is the din of a... It's called permanent makeup.
Yeah.
Huh?
Exactly.
The shiloh has come up. I haven't seen a psak about it yet, honestly. I was asked many times. It could be a shiloh of a tattoo. The question is, a tattoo halachically is if it's permanent. The question, what is the definition of permanent? Okay? Now, this tattoo makeup, or permanent makeup that they call it, they actually, what they do is, they actually cut your skin and put permanent things that looks like dye, that looks like the eyebrows or whatever it is, or other makeups that they do. That could very well have a din of permanency, and it has a din of cut into the skin with permanent dye. Again, I didn't see a ruling on it yet. I don't know, but logically, it's very difficult to say it's allowed because it is permanent.
Beautiful.
Now, the din is, you're not allowed to make it. And this you have many times, people become Bali Tshuva, and they have tattoos.
Yep.
Are they obligated to take them off? So technically, they're not obligated to take them off. The Torah says, "Uksevis kakalei sitnu bochem." You're not to make a tattoo. There's no sin having the tattoo. The sin is making the tattoo. So once it's there already, it's there. And by the way, this is one of the many things. There's a saying that people say, and then you try to find out where in the world does it come from, because it doesn't make sense. But you know, many people say that if you have a tattoo, you cannot be buried in a Jewish cemetery. There's such a baba maisa from the halacha perspective. I don't know where it says that in halacha. I guess what it was is, years ago they wanted to stop their kids from doing tattoos, so they told them you can't be buried in the Jewish cemetery, which at those days, you know, death was... It was interesting. Even people that weren't religious, three things they did religious. Bris, marriage, and death. Those three things... They did, even if they weren't Shemesh Shabbos, they weren't religious, nothing. But these three things, a proper moil, you know, a proper rabbi for marriage, and a proper funeral, you know, with the works. So maybe it was a scaring tactic. I'd like to see anywhere where it says that, maybe it says, I don't know. And I've discussed with many, many people don't know where it says.
Okay.
It's like, you know, if you go swimming before the 3 weeks, you can go swimming during them. It's such bubble, like, three fast before, by mitzvah, you have to fast. I mean, there's such ridiculous things that people come up with. Nobody knows where they come from. Okay, but the sin is to make oksevis ka'aka le'sitnu besachim. You can't make a tattoo. You cannot make a seder nefesh, a cut in your flesh. But the sin is only if you're doing it for the dead. In other words, technically, if somebody takes a knife and cuts himself, intentionally I'm talking about, they didn't do this sin of seder nefesh. Seder nefesh, the Torah says, is only forbidden when it was over a dead body that died. Not that you are allowed to damage yourself. It's halachically forbidden to take a knife and just cut yourself. It's forbidden, according to halacha, to do anything that damages the person's body. Person's body, ki am kodesh ata l'Hashem alakecha, Jewish body is holy. Contrary to proposition, different things, wrong one. Not eight, mental meals. Contrary that many women say, it's my body, I can do with my body what I want, it's my abortion, if I want to do abortion, it's my body, I can do with my body what I want. That is not a true statement, because we do not own ourselves. We belong to God. One second. We belong to Hashem. Hashem loaned us our body for 120 years. We give it back a little whiter than it was when we got it, but what? Hashem doesn't...
Whiter or whiter?
Whiter and wider. Both. A little whiter and a lot wider than when we got it. But Hashem says, you do not own your body. And therefore, it's halachically forbidden for a person to do any damage to themselves, even just to cut themselves, prick themselves, for no reason, it's forbidden. I'm not getting into this now. This is a whole discussion for itself. But even cosmetic surgery is halachically very questionable. Before anybody wants to do a nose job or any other jobs, they really need to ask a shaila in halacha, because it's not always allowed. Because the cosmetic surgery is still hurting yourself. It's still a surgery. They're cutting and they're hurting. It might be the benefit of it, but then you have to know in halacha it's not so simple. It's not so simple if you can do cosmetic surgery, unless if it's, you know, God forbid, somebody was in a terrible crash and they became deformed, you know, and they need to, you know, whatever it may be, for the sake of shidduchim or just for social normalcy, so to speak. So then, halacha will permit it. But it depends what psychological effects, why you need it. And in fact, there's an interesting letter from the Rebbe about piercing ears for earrings. Are you allowed to pierce ears? Because you're hurting yourself by piercing the ears. And the Rebbe writes that you are allowed to. There's first a misquote in the letter, then they reprinted the letter the correct way. The Rebbe writes you're allowed to, and basically the Rebbe's reasoning was the enjoyment outweighs the pain for the second of the pierce, many fold, and therefore it would be allowed. But I'm just saying that for a person just to say, it's my body, I can do with it what I want, it's forbidden. What did you want to ask?
I want to ask, how come some observant people smoke, and that's not
the answer that I would answer you is you should ask the ones that smoke.
Question for you. The people that they go and they put the tattoo, they don't do it themselves, or somebody is doing it for them.
Yeah.
I mean, do they get the Aveda?
Both people get the Aveda. Because you are also assisting by giving out your hand, let's say. Mm-hmm. If somebody grabs you against your will and tattoos you against your will, you do not get the sin. Mm-hmm. They do. But if you're willing, no, this is halacha. If you, misayaya, if you're helping, then you're actually involved in the sin, equal to the one that's doing it. Okay, now, what?
Tshuva with the tattoo, should he take it off because last night?
Should a Baal Tshuva that has a tattoo take it off? I was asked the shaila a few times, and it was suggested that if they can, without too much pain, they should take it off, but there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation to take
not
it off.
Not even from Mar Sinai.
Mar Sinai, it's there already. I mean, what's the Mar Sinai?
You could take it away.
You could take it away. It's painful to take it away. I mean, there's no obligation to take it away, but if they want, they could take it away, even though it's painful. You know, even though they're inflicting pain upon themselves, they are allowed to take. In fact, there's even a shal about this, by the way, are you allowed to donate blood? You know, all this is mentioned in halacha. There's tshuvas, are you allowed to donate blood? What's the question? You're hurting yourself. They're puncturing you. They're removing blood. Over there, the halacha is yes. I mean, but there's shalas and answers. Something you're allowed to do, some things you're not allowed to do. Yeah.
There's a convert.
No, it doesn't have to take it off. No. Now, there's another... One second. Another... What?
For Chiddush Hashem, to take it off because somebody sees you and...
No, that's what he asked. It's good, but is he obligated to hurt himself to take it off? He's not. What's he doing? It's there already.
Yeah, but keeping it is like...
Not to follow in the ways of Goyim is active, not passive. If somebody has a face that looks like a goy, blonde hair, blue eyes, with a short nose. Jews have big noses. Short nose, yeah? they look like a guy. Do they have an obligation to unlook like do plastic surgery to look like a Jew? Make the nose bigger? No. But there's another concept over here, Seret LaNefesh, which is an interesting thing that should be discussed. In the olden times, they used to make, in fact, there's a very interesting, Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks a question over here. Why does it say Veseret LaNefesh? It's not the Nefesh, it's the Guf. You make the mark in your body, not in your soul. Why does the Torah use the expression Veseret LaNefesh? So simply it means for a dead body. But why is the Torah using LaNefesh? So he says, because it's Pridus HaNefesh HaYikarah. In other words, it's the concept of the Nefesh leaving the body by doing this. In other words, it goes like this. When somebody passes away, in fact, there's a very interesting question that Rebbe asked. The Rebbe was asked. I was there, then the Rebbe went upstairs. His brother-in-law was sitting Shiva. The Rebbe's brother-in-law was sitting Shiva. And when the Rebbe went upstairs to be Menachem Ovel him, the brother-in-law asked the Rebbe the following question. We have, you know, the concept of Shiva, God forbid, of Elut, of mourning, 7 days, 30 days a year. So he said, if a Jew believes, and it was a very good question, if a Jew believes that everything comes from Hashem, and everything Hashem does is good, so why are we having a mourning period? I mean, we don't necessarily go dance, but, you know, if we accept whatever Hashem does, whatever Hashem does is for the good, so why do we have a mourning period? So the Rebbe explained to him, it's not for the deceased, it's for the people remaining alive. You know, mourning is not for the deceased. Deceased is in a better place, in Gan Eden, at peace, and tranquility, and godliness, and all good things. But the primary concept of mourning is for the people that remain alive to realize we don't live forever, just like the relative didn't live forever. We also don't live forever, and time flies, as we know. So, as we say, the expression, shape up before you ship out. You know what I mean? Straighten up. So it's more for the person who passed away, rather for the people that are alive, rather than for the person that passed away. In halacha, it's also interesting. There's three stages of mourning. 7 days, Shiva, 30 days, and then the year. And then halacha says, when the year is over, that's it. No more mourning. It's forbidden to mourn more than a year. Why? Because then already, the person is questioning what God did. And you can't question what God did. Okay? If a person starts destroying their body because somebody died, that's denying to a certain extent that whatever Hashem does is good.